Mrs. Beulah Coppedge has consented to be interviewed on her experiences at the St. Croix Lighthouse. She is going to be interviewed here at her home in April of 1967 by historian Paige Lawrence. Mrs. Coppedge, how old were you and how long did you live at the lighthouse?
I was between 7 and 12 years old, which was the age I was when we came to California. So it was approximately 5 years. We lived in this particular lighthouse.
Mrs. Coppedge, has the outside or the exterior part of the lighthouse and grounds changed much since you were there as a little girl?
No, surprisingly, the picture which I have received is so very similar that I would recognize it anywhere. It seems not to have changed at all. The two-story house with the lighthouse, the tower itself on top. A few buildings have been added, which I do not recognize, but the house itself is the same.
There are a number of small islands connected to the main island at low tide. Do you remember these islands as a little girl?
No, I do not remember any small islands, unless they were very, very small, excepting one at the south end of the island, which was like a pirate's cave or something. It was just one big mass of trees, and it was rather fearsome to a child. I don't remember ever being on it, although it was connected to the island by a shoal during low tide. Where do you want?
Mrs. Coppedge, what unusual experiences do you remember on the island as a little girl?
It seems to me that my entire life there was full of experiences of unusual kinds. We had storms. My sister was married, and all the wedding guests had to stay overnight because it was storming. And another thing, my schooling was very sketchy, since during the winter months I could not go back and forth, the river being icebound, not possible to walk on because the icebreaker was going up and down, keeping it open, and the tides also keeping it in a state of icebergs, one might say.
As a child, when you explored the islands, do you ever remember finding any signs of burials on the islands?
Yes, there were. I could not describe them, but there were signs. There were, we found arrowheads, and there were signs of the old walls, or rather ditches where walls had been, where things had had fallen in, time, the winter that De Monts and Champlain stayed on the island, and there were Indians there, of course.
Do you remember any 19th century burials, or burials even more recent than that?
No, none at all. There was nothing of that nature. Did you mean Indian, or just any? No, there were none during our stay on the island.
Do you recall any kind of a sawmill or a mill at the bay on the mainland where the lighthouse keepers kept their boats?
Yes. We nearly always stopped very near there when we went to the mainland. I presume you mean the main mainland, that is the United States mainland. I remember seeing it, but that is all. Of course, my father was a good customer of theirs, he being a man with many talents, and one of them being woodworking.
Could you describe at all the old mill that you saw?
No, I could not. I don't remember anything about it.
Comparing the pictures that you had as a child and the picture that was sent to you, could you describe the changes in the landscaping of the island and the offshore island?
There is very little change. I was surprised to not to see more trees, but apparently they were not there in any case, excepting on the west side, should be toward the Canadian shore, and that was rather seeming to me heavily wooded. It was a path along the side. It was almost a precipitate drop down to the water's edge, excepting for this one small path going along through the trees. But there was one tree which apparently is still there after all these years, and one that I used to spend a lot of time sitting in, which is right outside the house, between the house and whatever they call that building over there, a barn or a shed or different. The fences were not there at the time that I lived there. In the picture, it looks as though it were low tide. The flats are dark along the edge of the water. One of my recollections is the sandbank at the south end, which seemed very, very high, and offered a great deal of sport to any of us, old and young, by running and jumping and see how far we could go. But this was pure sand and a nice beach below, and I wonder if it's still there.
Do you ever remember helping your father, perhaps, on his rounds at the lighthouse? Would you describe that, please?
Well, there weren't anything that you could call rounds to be made, because there was nothing to examine and inspect excepting the light tower itself. And of course, I was up there many times. He was a very busy man with his brass polishing and lens, which had to be kept spotless, and there were window shades, or sort of like linen sacks that were kept over these lenses during the daytime, and everything must be absolutely spotless, even his own brass buttons.
Would you describe some of your family life there at the lighthouse? Your day-to-day activities?
My own or the family as a whole?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my father's duties were not onerous, and he was able to spend some time doing things that he liked to do, which is, as I mentioned, were woodwork. Also, he always had a beautiful vegetable garden, and that was very nice, wherein we could all enjoy ourselves. But my main activity seemed to be simply roaming the island, since the winter months were out as far as school was concerned, and there was very short time in the spring of the year that I could go to school. it always had to be, I always had to go in a boat, of course, and either sailing or rowing, so that I learned to row rather young. But it was a tranquil life. There was, there were many things happening, but not tragic or terribly exciting things, with the exception of the tricentenary celebration, which occurred while we were there, and that was 3 days of complete chaos. There were French, English ships in the harbor or in the river, and there were many officers, many men, many people, many sightseers. There were Indians, and a plaque was put in one of the large rocks of granite on the island.
Were there many visitors on the island during the regular part of the year?
No, only our personal friends. There were no sightseers.
What about a social life?
Well, having an older brother and sister in their late teens and twenties, you can imagine that there was a considerable social life. And father and mother were religious people, church-going people, and there were comings and goings of that nature on both sides of the river. I think they were equally at home on the Canadian side as the United, as in the United States community.
How often did you have to go back and forth between the mainland, and how long did these trips last?
How, you mean, say for supplies or that sort of thing? Oh, I don't suppose there were very many nice days when someone did not go across the river. It was not very far. I wish I knew. That's one of the things I must ask Mr. Cotter. That distance of the water itself. But there were, there was a great deal of just pleasure going. We went on picnics to the mainlands, one side or the other. We went on sailing trips. There were many things to do, it seems, and yet it wasn't necessary to do anything. It was so pleasant just being there.
Would you describe some of the big social events that occurred on the island?
Well, I suppose the largest thing that occurred there was my sister's wedding. She married a man from Bayside, the Canadian young man, and it was quite a big affair, and there were many guests. They had to spend the night because a storm came up, and this is not unusual on the main coast, of course. They were unable to get home, so they were parked anywhere that a sleeping space was available, which was all very interesting, exciting, and to a very young person, it was quite a highlight.
Were there any other people living on the island while you were there?
No, we were the only family at any time. Only one keeper was necessary, and Father was the lighthouse keeper, and there were no other homes, no other buildings, excepting maintenance or supply buildings, something of that sort.
You mentioned that your father was called Captain. Was he actually a captain, or did he acquire that another way?
I believe that he was always known as Captain Hodgkins, but I believe that that was an honorary title that came with the office, perhaps, because he was not. He was a fisherman before he went into the lighthouse service, and he never commanded a ship, so he could not be that sort of captain. And not being in the military service, I'm quite sure he was not a captain at all, excepting an honor title.
Could you describe a little more about the family life that you shared there on the island?
We had a very pleasant life. We were very self-contained, and our amusements had to be self-made. We were all musical. We had a great deal of music. My father loved to work with his hands, and he did lots of carving, while Mother read aloud, at the same time knitting, and we all enjoyed this. There was always lots to eat. We had plenty to read. We had plenty of leisure. It couldn't have been a more idyllic existence for a young child, I think.
Were the furnishings comfortable, as you recollect, looking back to those days?
Yes, they were to me. We had... everything seemed adequate. One of the highlights, I think, in the house was our kitchen stove. It was a huge wood stove with a water tank on the back, and it was set out into the room in such a way that benches had been built around one end and one side, so that it was a delightful place to just sit and warm yourself if you had been out in the cold. And then in the living room there was a very large round stove. There were no fireplaces, and that was all the heat that we had, but there were registers opening up into the upper story so that we were always very comfortable. We had a deep cellar, which was always well stocked. There was no thought of austerity or want. We seemed to have everything that we needed.
You mentioned that there were some buildings that had been added since the time you were a little girl. How many were there at that time?
Well, as far as I recall, there was only the, we called it the shed, which seems to be a little larger than, and that is directly close to the house, and the boat house. Those were the only, the buildings that I recall. Now, there are two or three others, and there's a cone-shaped thing there that I don't recognize at all. Of course, the boathouse was accompanied, of course, by the boat slip, where all the boats came in, if possible. If not, they simply had to wait until they could make it, because there was no other way to get onto the island except through the boat slip.
Could you describe one of the typical trips that you took to the mainland?
You mean away from, that is, not just to the mainland itself, but to another city, perhaps?
They trip across the water from the island to the mainland.
Well, we have, I've gone across in all sorts of weather. Some when it was calm as a lake, and some very stormy weather. So the trip across was apt to be anything. A typical trip would include some shopping. If I were going to school, that would be the objective for me. I always tried to make a stopover in an orchard, apple orchard, that's led from the dock to up to the main street, which was always interesting, because somehow those trees were easier to climb and the apples were juicier than anywhere else. There really wasn't anything to do, as far as I recall. We did go to church and we did go to see people, but those are things that are a little vague with me. They hadn't so much meaning as the life on the island itself.
Mrs. Coppedge, do you remember your father operating the light?
The light was operated by a clock. This was on a pulley, the long rope, which went down into the cellar. And this he would pull up, and the light would go for a certain number of hours. Then he would have to start over again. And this operated the light quite successfully, apparently. There was never any difficulty with it. So, and that was the extent of operating it, other than caring for the light, seeing that the, if there were, presumably there were wicks and that sort of thing, and seeing that everything was spotlessly clean, there was really nothing to operating it.
You mentioned that you remember a settlement being on the island, the remains of a settlement from the old French exploration. Would you describe that a little more, please?
Well, I would like to be able to. I only know that there were ditches that presumably had held mud walls, which indicated that there had been a settlement there, and we found arrowheads. So we knew that we knew from history that there had been Indians on the island, and I know that there were many more buildings, or that there were quite a few buildings. Not that there could be very many, not being a very large island, but it did accommodate quite a few men. I don't know anything further than that about the explorations, as you might call it, or excavations. There was nothing tangible, really, excepting the ditches, which were squared off in a fashion that indicated walls.
Where were these ditches in relation to the old lighthouse?
Well, mostly on the southern end of the island, as I recall. They might have been all over it, because, of course, there was nothing. There was no house. There was no other building on the island. It was simply used for the winter quarters and of De Monts and Champlain, and that was they could use the whole island, so presumably they did.
You said that you had a brother and a sister in your family. What did they do for amusements?
Well, as I recall, they were very, very busy people. They had many friends and were coming and going a great deal. My brother was married also on the island, and he married a Canadian girl, so we're quite international. They were going away very directly after marrying, so they didn't go in for a big ceremony, but it was very nice.
What was it like on St. Croix Lighthouse in comparison to the other lighthouses that you lived in?
You're speaking of the house itself, the home comforts. I think that possibly we had a little more comfort there than we did in the other two lighthouses. As I have said, I don't remember ever being uncomfortable. I always had plenty, and there seemed to be adequate furnishings. But it was a good duty, and I think my father was at a point in his life where he was able to give us comforts, and we were very comfortable. It was nicely furnished and adequately furnished home.
Was this furniture handmade, say, by your father, or was it bought, much like the houses on the mainland?
I would say that two-thirds of it had been made by my father, because he did a great deal of woodworking. He liked to make things, and that was his first thought. If we needed something, he would try to find out whether he could make it or not. There were, naturally, I think, chairs were beyond him. There were other things that I'm sure he did not have anything to do with that were, shall we say, store-bought. One of the woodworking projects that he had, and he made a number of these, were roll-top desks, and all of them were inlaid in various woods. They were rather beautiful, I thought. One interesting thing about the one that we had kept in our dining room was that he had fashioned, and this was quite typical of him, a secret drawer. And in that drawer, he saved the silver dollars that brought us to California.
Did your father make things for sale while he was lighthouse keeper?
excuse me. He sold several of the roll-top desks, which I mentioned. Other than that, I don't remember it, that there was that he made anything except boats. He did make rowboats.
What did your mother do? Did your mother make unusual things from what was on the island, or was she mainly a housekeeper?
No, mother was strictly a housekeeper, housewife. She was interested in her children and her housekeeping, her cooking, and other than the usual handcrafts, which housewives usually do, that was all.
What was it like in the evening at the old lighthouse?
Well, that was when we read and sang and played games and well, had fun, and somehow or other we managed to do that together. Mother read aloud a great deal. She liked to, and she had a good voice for it. Father was avid for reading, but he didn't want to take the time to do it himself, so he preferred working for his inlay and handwork. And many is the Frank Merrill story that's been read aloud in our home on St. Croix. No, I can't. They were so similar. And anything that happened seemed to happen spontaneously. If we decided to go ashore, and maybe one decided and another decided to go, or we simply decided to take a walk, and we did that. There was no routine particularly, and yet it was quite routine. One of the outstanding or almost tragic things that happened was that my nephew, who was only a couple of years younger than I, was staying with us, very nearly drowned, and Father, who couldn't swim a stroke, was able to save him, which always impressed us. All he did was to reach out an oar, because the boy was beyond his depth. He was only about 5 years old. But it was something that is outstanding to us. I can't think of anything that we did really, as I say, it was all very pleasant. I found it an idyllic way of life, and I thought that St. Croix Island was a beautiful, beautiful island, and I realized from the picture that it's anything but beautiful. We had a well on the island, but the water was piped to the house, so that we were able to... We did not have to go outside to haul water up. And we never had to bring water from the mainland.
Where was the garden that you mentioned?
It was at the back of the house, on the west side. And I'm sure that no more delicious sweet peas were ever grown and grown there. It wasn't my father's favorite occupation, gardening, but things just seemed to grow very well, and we always had our own fresh vegetables during the season. I don't remember that we had a great many that carried us through the winter. We did have certain rations that the government provided, such as brown sugar, flour, probably white sugar. The rations seemed to depend upon the distance from the mainland in which you are, and at least it seemed so to us. There is something that I've not been able to find on the picture, which it seems to me should be in line of vision, with the just yards from the house to the south, there was a knoll, and on it was the bell, with which we had to salute all ships coming and going. It was just it was a sizable bell, in shape like the Liberty Bell, and it was hung on looked like a tripod embedded in the rock, and each time a ship went by, someone had to run out and give the bell a few taps. But I don't seem to see it in the picture. It's it may be there, or they may be, perhaps possibly that thing on the cone-shaped thing. That may possibly that is a signal now, and maybe automatic.
Would you describe the life on the island during the winters?
Well, that was very exciting, I thought. We often had very, very deep snowfalls, and I remember being able to play out in the brilliant sunshine under feet of snow, tunnels and caves and so on. It was lots of fun, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. One interesting little thing was between the knoll where the bell was and the house, there was a gully, and this would become full of snow, so that many times we had a visitor unexpectedly coming down the stairs from our second story who had walked across from the knoll into the house.
Thank you, Mrs. Coppedge, for sharing your memories with us.